Right now on VFN TV, we're going to have an unofficial field reporter from Israel, Naftali, telling us what Palestinians don't want us to know. Also, we're going to go to the White House and listen to where President Trump and President Abbas came together to speak at the White House. And we're going to go back to Naftali in Israel. He's going to tell us the untruths that are being spoken from Abbas when he was speaking at the White House. And also, we're going to hear the Prime Minister of Israel committing to the loyal relationship to America and how that happened and how they maintain their borders. It sounds a lot like our president wants to do right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say,
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made himself, made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well. And ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president, I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It's repaired as soon as I...
Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time.
And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was, will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, this morning's sunrise in Jerusalem, take a look at this. The beautiful, beautiful city of Jerusalem sunrise taking place right there. Thanks to Naftali and blessing us with that picture. As a matter of fact, we are going to go right to our unofficial reporter in Jerusalem, Naftali, as he's speaking to us specifically about, you know, things that Palestinian people don't want us to know. Understand this, that, you know, Naftali is a Jew. He's a Christian. He's a Messianic believer. He loves Israel. He loves Jesus. He was a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force, and he's confused at why the world's looking at Israel the way they're looking at some of the world. And he says, let me tell you some things that the Palestinian people don't want you to know. Take a look.
I want to start this video with two facts. One, I believe in peace. Two, as a Jewish Israeli and a soldier, I love Palestinians. When the terrorists from Hebron had murdered Halal Yafa, the 13-year-old girl, the Palestinian Authority didn't bother to condemn the attack. The opposite is true. Hebron's governor went to the terrorist's family to comfort them. Plus, did you know that the Palestinian Authority actually give money to terror families? And the more you hurt Israel, the more money you get. And this is how they encourage terrorism. I think it's sad that the new Palestinian generation don't even have the option to choose peace. I mean, schools teach that Israel is not even a state. So the new Palestinian generation is growing based on hate towards Israelis. Instead of teaching their kids how to play with toys and dolls, mothers encourage their kids to play with knives. And it becomes their norm. But this is not normal at all. Did you know that Hamas recruits children? And they willingly send those kids to the front line, because if the IDF will kill them, then they will blame the IDF for killing innocent kids. Also, the world sends tons of humanitarian help and billions of dollars to Gaza Strip. Now, I have only one question. Where the money goes to? I mean, Hamas is the local government in Gaza. Don't they get it that their money goes straight into Hamas hands? And let me tell you a small secret. They don't rebuild their houses with all this money. They also build tunnels for future terror attacks. So in the end, most of the humanitarian help don't really help the simple, plain citizens in Gaza. And if there are any Palestinians watching, I want you to know that most Israelis don't hate you like people say. And also the IDF is teaching its soldiers to treat Palestinians respectfully, regardless of their origin, religion, or any other aspect. Guys, join me in sharing the truth about Israel on social media. It's a huge help for the state of Israel. Many people hate Israel mainly because they don't really know what's happening here. But it's changeable. So let's get the truth out there. Remain in God. Love you.
We are so grateful for Naftali. You got to be able to spread his message right there. He is our unofficial field reporter in Israel. He's letting us know specifically about the Palestinian people. Hamas is their leadership. That's their government. As a matter of fact, the president of Hamas met with President Donald Trump and they had a press conference. And we're not going to show you the whole press conference. We'll make it available to you at VFNTV.com. But I want you to listen. Obviously, he's going to speak in Arabic and it's going to be a translator speaking. But we're going to, after hearing what he's really saying, we're going to go back to Naftali and let him explain from Israel what's actually truth about what he's saying. This is President Trump meeting with President Abbas in the White House. Take a look.
بأمن وسلام واستقرار إلى جانب دولة إسرائيل على حدود 1967.
Mr. President, our strategic option, our strategic choice is to bring about peace based on the vision of the two-state, a Palestinian state with its capital of East Jerusalem that lives in peace and stability with the state of Israel based on the borders of 1967.
This is amazing. The borders of 1967 are undefensible borders. If the borders go back to 1967 borders, which only expanded because the Arab nations attacked Israel and they had to defend themselves and they expanded their borders and brought in Jerusalem. That's why they're celebrating right now over 50-year anniversary of the unification of Jerusalem coming back into Israel. But it came only because they had to defend themselves. And now Abbas, the President Abbas, he's sitting here saying that they need to go back to the 1967 borders. Remember, that's exactly what former President Barack Obama said himself, that Israel needed to go back to the 1967 borders. That's like saying, we want to do away with you, Israel, or we want to harm you. And it's like, you think about this. You think about President Abbas. He's ahead of the Palestinian people. He's promoting these schools that are teaching their children how to hold guns, how to shoot. You see how little those children were? And in their schools, pulling knives out and stabbing folks. If you missed our previous program, we talked and had Naftali interviewing folks on the streets and asking them, and they openly were saying, there's nothing wrong with this stabbing, and there's nothing wrong with hurting folks. And it's just, we got to really stand up for Israel and stand up for the people of Israel, all the people of Israel. And we're seeing this take place. But Naftali takes a look at the speech that took place just now. You just heard part of it from the White House with President Trump and President Abbas. Now let's let Naftali, all the way from Israel, tell us exactly the truth about what's going on. Let's take a look.
Our grandchildren on a culture of peace, and we are...
Oh my gosh! I can't believe he just said that. On Wednesday, Abbas met with President Trump to discuss the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and how to solve it. Now, during the meeting, Abbas made some false statements that I must uncover. So, when this video ends, please share it forward because people really need to hear the truth.
Mr. President, it's about time for Israel to end its occupation.
Mr. President Abbas, it's about time you end incitement. It's unthinkable that you are aware of the lone wolf Palestinian terrorism, yet you do nothing to end this. And by the way, occupation is happening, but not by Israelis. Tell me please, why a city like Samaria, that used to be the capital of Israel's kingdom, is now occupied by Palestinians, and Jews are not allowed to go there without military escort?
We also want for Israel to recognize the Palestinian state, just as the Palestinian people recognize the state of Israel.
Let me tell you something that has happened to me personally in Jerusalem. So, 2 weeks ago when I filmed the video about the terror attacks, I encountered Palestinians at Damascus Gate, so I greeted them by saying, hello, good morning. Now, one of the young guys there replied to me back by saying,
welcome to Palestine.
How in the world is that recognizing the state of Israel?
Mr. President, I affirm to you that we are raising our youth, our children, our grandchildren on a culture of peace.
How can Abbas say that, knowing that after almost every terror attack on Israelis, many Palestinians go outside, light fireworks, hand out candies, and celebrate our death? Abbas knows that in their schools, they encourage children to hate Israel, and the kids are not even ashamed to say that on camera. How can Abbas literally lie to the world about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and present his people as the weak and miserable ones? The only people in Israel that can't go anywhere in Israel are Israelis. How absurd is that? Israelis cannot travel to any place they want in Israel.
This is so important. We're so appreciative of Naftali. We want you to support him and share his videos. We'll make it available to you on VFNTV.com. But it's just amazing how they look into the cameras and they openly say up when it's down. They openly say right when it's left. They openly say yes when it's no. I mean, they are promoting continually stab, 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 stab. And Israel's not a huge nation. You're looking at 75 miles maybe at its widest point, and you're having this adversarial mindset of President Abbas and the things he's promoted and the Palestinian people. And how many people that are openly supporting the Palestinian people, not understanding what they're doing and what's going on? And some of the reports are that American funding, taxpayer dollars, are going to President Abbas and the Palestinian people for food and other things, but they're using it for this taking place. It's just tragic. And, you know, Naftali used to be a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force. And what these soldiers, these young soldiers, are doing, they're walking into an environment like that. As a matter of fact, this is a video from the internet, the Israeli Defense Force, where they're going to through a house, and a children's bed, a Dora the Explorer bed, has a Uzi machine gun in it. These are the environments these young soldiers are going through. Take a look at this. We want to keep Israel in our prayers and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. These are exciting days because it is the 50th year anniversary of the unification of Jerusalem coming back to Israel. It's like the 69th year of Israel becoming a nation, which means we're walking into the 70th year. Our president's going to, President Trump's going to Israel. We believe, and I think it was even confirmed by the president of Turkey, whether he knew it or not, that we're going to make a statement there that says we're going to move our U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It's already in our laws. It already says we're supposed to do that. They've been putting it off for quite a while. And I really believe, and what I'm seeing with our president, President Trump, he's just saying, whatever laws on the books, let's live by those laws. Let's live by those border laws. Let's live by supporting Israel. Let's live by supporting the citizens of America. And it's amazing. One of those laws is that you will move, that we will put the embassy of America in the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. My goodness, we're fixing to go to break. Join us after the break. But I want to tell you, when we come back from the break, you're going to hear the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. And it's so encouraging to hear how dedicated Australia is. He's the Prime Minister of Australia. How dedicated and loyal our relationship is with America and Australia. It's going to bless your heart. Join us after the break.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom Business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so exciting. I love having our unofficial reporter in Israel. And I just, you know, Navitali's love for Jesus, his love for Israel, his love for all the people of Israel, his honest look at things, and it's just so refreshing.
He's a gift. He's authentic.
Yeah, he's authentic. It's definitely. We always believe, we've always talked about prophetically embedded reporters. You could be a reporter in your own community like that And we'd love to be able to bring what God's putting on your heart and showing in your community as part of the VFN television program. You know, we're everywhere.
That's right.
Well, I was so excited to see the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull talk about his commitment and his loyalty, Australia's loyalty. He's the Prime Minister of Australia.
Right.
Australia's loyalty to America and America's loyalty to Australia.
Yes.
That's just so beautiful.
It is so important. In the same interview, he talked about their relationship with China, but yet he made it clear on no uncertain terms that their loyalty lies with the United States.
Oh, without a doubt. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this is the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull of Australia, speaking specifically about why we're connected, how we got connected, talking about the USS Coral Sea, which we just had a celebration on
74th year, something like that.
Yeah, the USS Nimitz. What's
Intrepid.
Intrepid. Yeah,
Intrepid.
I was on the Intrepid.
You were on the ship.
I was on the Intrepid.
You modeled. Do we have time for
bring
that?
Up, I don't want to bring up my modeling career. Oh, my goodness.
I have energy. I'd like to talk about this.
Yeah, you see me in my Cracker Jacks from the Navy right there. But this is Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull talking about the loyalty of Australia to America. Check it out.
The strength of our alliance is enduring. It's been built on millions of relationships and connections between Australians and Americans over so many years. 100 years of mateship, ever since the Battle of Hamel, 99 years ago. In every major conflict, Australians and Americans have fought side by side. And last night, of course, we were commemorating the Battle of the Coral Sea, that moment in 1942 where brave Australian and American sailors and aviators turned the tide of war in the Pacific and saved Australia and saved the Pacific for freedom. That was the turning point, the hinge of fate, as Churchill described it.
The hinge of fate. You know, sometimes, you know, later on in history, we don't realize how we got to this point.
Yeah.
And what the Prime Minister is saying, if it wasn't for America and the USS Coral Sea and what took place 74 years ago, that when we stood up to battle for Australia, battle for the Pacific.
Yeah.
The entire Pacific. And that just, ever since that day, and you notice Australia's soldiers are always with us when we're going to do things.
Yeah, and it's so important that we commemorate like they're doing, because so often people tend to forget. We forget in our country all the victories, all the things that people have sacrificed over the years, and so I love to see that happen.
Yes, I remember we went into Iraq, they were there, we went to each of these battles,
Australia always with us,
always right there, and we'll find out why. The Prime Minister said we're loyal friends, we've been loyal, and he says, what did Churchill say, what was the statement?
The hinge of faith.
It was the hinge of faith. That man had some powerful statements that he had made. You know, also I think about, you know, when you think, how does Australia survive? They're multicultural, but yet they have definite border laws, they have laws that says specifically who and how long you can come into your nation. I mean, exactly, actually, what President Trump's wanting to do.
Most nations do, you know.
Yeah, and we actually have them on the books, and people are not wanting to enforce those laws. Our president is President Trump. But, the Prime Minister here, Malcolm Turnbull's, asked specifically, you know, how does Australia do it in maintaining your borders and your immigration policy? Because it's a lot like President Trump's. Let's go there now.
We are a very, very multicultural society, and we have achieved that with a remarkable degree of harmony. Now, a foundation of that is the public having absolute confidence that their government and their government alone determines who comes to Australia, how long they stay, the terms and conditions on which they stay. That is our sovereign right and our sovereign responsibility. So we have a generous humanitarian program, but we say, if you seek to come to Australia unlawfully with a people smuggler, you will not succeed. Full stop. That is absolutely, absolutely fundamental.
You sympathize with the president on this issue. I mean, he's kind of selling it that way as you talk about it.
The proposition that the government, elected by the people, should decide who comes into a country and the terms on which they come is fundamental. It's a fundamental sovereign right of any nation.
It's a fundamental sovereign right of any nation. And protecting our borders, that's one of the main things the president of our nation is supposed to do.
It's responsibility.
We've gotten into so many other things, but one of the main things is to protect the sovereignty, which means the standaloneness of our nation, that we're not one global world and we're not, you know, these borders that George Soros talks about taking down, and that, you know, you don't have if think about a fish aquarium. If you don't have the aquarium, but you have the water and the fish, you don't have the water and the fish because they pour out over the face of the surface there. And when you look at the Constitution and you look at our constitutional law that puts a president in place to guard our borders, like they're doing in Australia, you actually have a nation.
Yeah.
And it's just so important. Listen, we have this offer for you, but we get back from this break. I want to tell you this. We're going to go to the White House, and it's been so important. We prayed for quite some time over the education mountain that, you know, we want to be able to shift it back to what it's supposed to be. And with Betsy DeVos, we had her on a program. We had some content about her, and it was very exciting, her going into place. But we got to stand with her and stand with the president, because understand there's so many people. I think one of the largest strongholds probably in America is over our kids. You know, believe it or not, they wedge their way in between our kids.
Everybody wants to have something to say about their children or about other people's children,
right,
and how they're taught, but she's doing a fantastic job.
Right, right. And so this is so important. Think about the school choice we're going to talk about coming to America. And imagine the tax dollars that you pay. I mean, if you're in America, you pay school taxes if you have school kids or not. But imagine if you get that money given to you in a voucher system and you pick, you want to go to Christian school, you want to homeschool, you want this public school, but you pick where your kid goes. Mm-hmm. And that invisible hand of competition causes schools that aren't doing what they need to be doing to be able to either close down or to be absorbed in what's going on or change their ways of doing mm-hmm. it. This is very important, because the one thing that happened in Germany is they went after the kids, they started educating the kids in a different way. And right now, we have a young population that's been educated against family, you know, the God's definition of family, against God, against the Constitution, against Israel. Not everyone, but the primary narrative that's been coming out over our children, which are now teenagers and mm-hmm. moving in their 20s, they don't have a biblical worldview, you know, of the nation. But right now, I want to give you this. This is a special offer we want to give you for any gift whatsoever. This is how we stay on the air. As a matter of fact, here are the details.
Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home. Discover the goodness of God, how you are on His mind, and how He has plans and a desire to be invited in your home. In this message, we'll discover a corrupted governmental leader who had gained his riches from extorting the people that he was supposed to serve. Through all the evil that he was doing, he still had an interest in this man, Jesus. You're going to be so encouraged as you find how the Lord already knew him, how he had planned to stay at his house that day, and how this corrupted governmental leader welcomed Jesus into his house. It was a moment that would change his life forever. When you hear this message, if you haven't yet, or at one time you did invite the Lord in your home, but since that time the welcome sign has been taken down, you'll once again be encouraged to welcome the Lord into your home. Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home. We want to send you this offer to you for your gift of any amount. You can partner now by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I played high school basketball, and so my daughter's a sophomore in high school. She's 6 feet tall. Her teammates want her to try out. The coaches want her to try out.
That's Margot Starbuck, and she's on today's Focus on the Family Minute, reflecting about how she learned not to push her daughter when it came to sports.
And I really have to check myself because she's, you know, not so sure. And she did end up trying out, made the team, and it required me letting go a little bit. She had a horrible season. She did not play again. And as a mom, I had to see who she was and release her to do the things that she really enjoyed. And so again and again, I think we need to notice what's inside of us so that we really can see who our child is and not be sort of forcing our own things.
So don't let your desires drive the way. Instead, let your child grow into his or her own abilities. More from Margot Starbuck about finding good balance at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
How do these people know somebody is morally superior to someone else unless there is a moral law by which they have determined that? The induction tells us something is wrong, and our national calamity is resulting in pain. Can you imagine in a democracy that was supposedly created to get away from the invasion of government and intervening forces, we are now determining what is morally right and wrong, anchoring it in political correctness, the one place we have no moral law. And I want to tell you what the marvelous truth of all of this can be. You see, my dear friend, when you can understand why the pain is there, you can give a reasonable solution. When you do not understand why the pain is there, you give a Band-Aid solution.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I am so excited about this cabinet.
Yes.
Because these intelligent people,
grown folks,
many of them, yeah, grown folks, are in charge. And even over education, for years, Betsy DeVos worked. We had a whole program on her. You can go back and see that at VFN TV, or you can go to our YouTube channel this day now. But this is her in the White House. She's about to present the school choice direction of what's going on in education. And I love the White House now because it's like a family. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just moving around. The children are there that are benefited off of school choice. And the president wasn't scheduled to be there, but he kind of comes in behind her. And then it's amazing. It just looks like we're all doing this thing together. Let's go to the White House now with Betsy DeVos.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming today to this important event. This administration remains committed to serving all students, especially the most vulnerable. As we've seen in states around the country, these students particularly benefit from school choice programs. This week is National Charter Schools Week. And right now, there are more than 6,900 charter schools in the United States serving more than 3 million students. Of course, there are millions more families on waiting lists for charter schools, hoping their child will be able to attend one. Parents want their children to have the option to attend these schools and others that fit their individual needs for the simple reason that they're not satisfied with their current school. And they believe access to options can give their child a better opportunity to learn and thrive. I believe this should be a right for every parent, not a privilege. We shouldn't restrict parents' choices based strictly on a family's income or zip code. We have some great witnesses to the power of parental choice here today. By shining.
I'd like you to finish. I found it so interesting.
Listening for 2 minutes here. She's doing a great job, right?
Would you like to finish up?
I want you to. I want you to go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is very exciting. So yesterday I said that our spending bill was a win for the American people, which is exactly what it was, an amazing day. And this is what winning for young children and kids from all over the country looks like. The Opportunity Scholarship Program that we're funding allows families in the inner city of our nation's capital to leave failing public schools and attend a private school, making an extraordinary difference in these incredible young lives. You're so lucky. Great. You happy about it? That's great. That's great. The results speak for themselves. 98% of scholarship recipients represent their high school diplomas, and they're really very, very special. They go into tremendous successes. So I think you're going to all be very, very successful. You have a big start, right? Great start. This is a beautiful event, and I'm thrilled to be here. I congratulate the families and the audience. The families are very proud of the children. Are you all proud of your children, I hope? Anybody not proud? They're very proud of you. During my campaign for president, I promised to fight for school choice, very important. It was featured in my joint address to Congress, and today I'm calling on all lawmakers to work with us to help extend school choice to millions more children all across the United States of America, including millions of low-income Hispanic and African-American children who deserve the same chance as every other child in America to live out their dreams and fill up their hearts and be educated at the top, top level. Good. Every child has the right to fulfill their potential. And if we do our jobs, then we will never have to tell young, striving Americans to defer their dreams for another day or for another decade. We're not going to do that. I'm honored to be here. I'm so proud to be with these wonderful families and wonderful children. And I'm deeply excited for the amazing things that lie ahead for these truly inspiring young Americans right here in Washington, D.C., our capital. And I will say that I'm very, very proud of all of you. You know, I wasn't supposed to be here. It wasn't on my schedule. When I heard what was going on with Betsy, who's doing such a great job, I said, well, I'll come in and I'll interrupt Betsy. Maybe I'll be allowed to say a few words. But she's a great woman and doing a fantastic job. Congratulations to all of you, okay, and to your families. Congratulations, everybody. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, everybody.
I have the opportunity of introducing this young lady, Saganesh Tedele, who is a recipient of a parental choice program and who has done so much in her years in high school to help share this with other students, but she's going to tell a bit about her story right now.
Thank you, Secretary DeVos, Mr. Vice President, and Mr. President. I'm honored to be here. My name is Saganesh Tedele. I'm a senior at Georgetown Visitation. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. 20 years ago, both of my parents emigrated to the U.S. from Ethiopia. As a first-generation college-bound student, I have earned the opportunity to fulfill my dreams and the dreams of my parents as well. Without the Opportunity Scholarship Program in place for me and others like me, I would not have been able to move forward and pursue the academic dreams. This fall, I will be attending American University to study international relations and public policy. I will always take with me the attitude to achieve and to succeed. Through our school community's outreach program, Saturday School, I'm able to inspire and encourage young seventh grade girls to be the best possible versions of themselves. Because of the quality education that I receive at Visitation, I'm able to mentor 7th grade girls in the Washington metropolitan area. Having obtained a strong education from an all-girls school, I feel strongly about the endless possibilities that young women can achieve given the opportunity to have an education. Whether or not one decides to attend a traditional public or private school, I believe that each and every student deserves the chance to obtain an education that best meets their needs. I would like to thank all those who make the program possible and hope that the program will continue to serve more and more students to come. Thank you.
At this time, I'm very pleased and honored to introduce the Vice President of the United States.
Thank you. Well, on behalf of the First Family, it was going to be my privilege to welcome you to the White House today. But then the President decided, when he heard you were across the hallway, he decided to come by and say hello just to tell you all how proud he is of you, how proud he is of your parents, and how proud we are to continue the D.C. Scholarship Program. And we're so grateful to have someone who has been so dedicated to opening doors of opportunities for American children and families all across this country for so many years as the Secretary of Education. Would you join me in thanking Betsy DeVos for her wonderful leadership? Secretary DeVos is fighting every day to give America's children the world-class education that every American child deserves. And on behalf of the President, families across America, Betsy, we thank you. And we thank you. Today is just an early installment of the impact that you're having on expanding educational opportunities for all of our children. And to Saganesh Tadella, wow, what an impressive young lady. Give her another round of applause, please. She actually rewrote a little of her speech right at the very beginning. She added greetings to the Secretary, to the Vice President, and to the President, which I thought was very impressive on your feet. And congratulations on all your great success. You really are a wonderful example of why President Trump is fighting so hard to expand educational opportunities for all of our families in the country. And we thank you for being here. To all the advocates, to the administrators, especially to the parents who are here, the parents of these wonderful, beautiful children who are gathered here, to all the great teachers who are here, welcome to the White House. You are making a difference each and every day in the lives of all these wonderful kids. Give yourselves a round of applause. We have here leaders and students from K through 5 grade school, from middle school and high school, from 3 private, 1 charter school, and 1 public school. And we're proud to have all of you kids here. St. Anthony's Catholic School, Georgetown Visitation, Basis DC Charter, just to name a few. And all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana, we have Thomas Carr Howe Community High School. Let's welcome all these great kids in these great schools. So well represented here today. And all the adults here, thank you for caring so much. Thank you for caring so much about your children and every student's education. Thank you for the late nights, for the early mornings. Thank you for the everyday acts of love and sacrifice you make on behalf of these kids, giving them the best shot in life and the best future for them. And lastly, you heard the President say today that, again, that he's proud of you. He's really proud of you, and so am I. You are America's future. You keep at it, you keep learning, you keep striving, you keep believing in your dreams. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't. Then you will. You'll live out your dreams. And thank you for believing in your dreams and working so hard at all of your classwork today. Give these kids another round of applause. Now, we're here today because this week Congress is poised to pass legislation, and President Trump will sign into law a spending bill that will give new life and funding to the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program, which is the only federally funded voucher program in the country. It's a case study in school choice success. This spending bill will extend the Opportunity Scholarship for 3 years, funds it at $45 million for the rest of the year. It is a victory for families and students throughout the District of Columbia. Since its creation in 2004, the Opportunity Scholarship Program has given parents and families hope by giving them a pathway to take their children out of schools that too often are failing to meet the needs of children here in our nation's capital. Give them a chance that other families have to put their children into a private school. And over the past 13 years, the results have been impressive. Nearly 20,000 students have applied for the program, 7,500 students have been accepted, and more than 1,150 children are participating in the DC Opportunity Scholarship Program at this very moment. While only 69% of DC's public school students graduated from high school last year, 98% of DC scholarship students walked across the stage and received a diploma last year. 98%. And get this, 86% of those kids were accepted into college to continue their education and climb the ladder of success. President Trump could not be more proud to extend this crucial program, but his commitment to school choice doesn't end there. I have to tell you that this is a president that truly does believe that parents in America ought to be able to choose where their children go to school, regardless of their income or their area code. And in the days ahead, we're going to continue to work each and every day to give every family in America the opportunity to choose the school that's best for them. So with thanks again to our Secretary of Education, for bringing us to this moment, with thanks to all of you for all the hard work that you're putting into all of your schoolwork today. On behalf of the President of the United States of America, we say keep dreaming, keep striving, and I have a feeling we're going to see one of these kids back at the White House. Thanks, everybody, and God bless you.
This is so exciting. It's like just family, you know? And these kids, it's so important to give them a chance, and that's what school choice does. I remember there's this one, we had it on our program where these protesters from the National Education Association were protesting children having a choice, and the parents were standing in line to get a choice to go to that school, and they were protesting back and forth. It's like, the kids are asking for another choice.
Was it because possibly they may lose their employment?
It was John, it had totally to do with their paycheck. It had nothing to do with the future of that kid. And it's like, I understand that, but you got to find another line of work. We cannot sacrifice our children so you can have a bigger house.
You have a paycheck, right?
You have a paycheck, and this thing is shifting. It's going to be difficult. We need to pray for Betsy DeVos. Yeah. We need to pray for the education mountain. We talk about that in VFN Kingdom Business about the mountains. We got to impact these mountains of culture, and one of them is education. And with having Betsy DeVos at the helm.
Amazing.
And we have a whole program we did on. You got to check it out. But listen, it is so important. It's a gift from God to be able to have her in this place. But she can't do it alone. We have to stand up and support and pray for her. And as you're a teacher, stand up in your school. If you're a student, stand up in your school and say, listen, I want choice. I'm for this godly form of leadership that's taking place.
And don't protest choice. If you don't like it, maybe you can start your own school. Maybe you can be another educator.
I guess you'd say, I don't want no choice. I don't want no choice. Who even goes to the Burger King and say, you only have one thing on your menu?
Right.
Or McDonald's. I don't know which one you do.
Neither.
Hey, we have good friends that work at McDonald's, right? Right? Listen, we're going to go to break. This is exciting days. We have so much more for you. Get back from the break. Join us. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping
keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to me, men. The story of a nation is the story of its families written large. And if we want to see the things change out here, we've got to start in our home. A messed up man will produce a messed up family that will produce a messed up church that will result in a messed up neighborhood that will cause a messed up city that will bring about a messed up county that will result in a messed up state that will reside in a messed up country that will bring about a messed up world. So if we want better worlds composed of better countries inhabited by better states made up of better counties that are composed of better cities inhabited by better neighborhoods illumined by better churches made up of better families, we better go home better men. It starts with our own commitment to be men of God.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.